Budget Day. The Chancellor has barely sat down, and we have Sarah and Nicola from CKLG Accountants have joined us in the studio. Afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon. Hi.
This must be your nightmare scenario, mustn't it? Because you, accountants, you do. There's so much more to the budget than the bit that we hear, isn't it? The Chancellor stands up and does all the headline stuff, and then there's all this other sneaking it through, something, the stuff that pays for all this sneaks through under the wire.
Do you know, this morning I was only just reading the supplements that are in the Sunday papers that actually outlined all the predictions, just to try and gather my thoughts together as to what might come up. But of course, in everything that has just been announced today, there's already things that are bumbling around in the background, and there's consultations that are taking place, and there's announcements that were made maybe a year ago that we've forgotten about that are still coming in. And even in what he said just now, actually there's an immediate hit with some things, and there's some things that will be phased in. So yeah, it's never all about just what he says on budget day.
No.
There's much more to it.
No, and of course with current events, let's say no more, obviously things have had to change. We've already had a 0.5% reduction in base rate today, so we're back down to the lowest level in history, 0.25%. They do seem to be, would it be fair to say, throwing money at it to keep us going?
Well, it does seem that obviously, there was a lot of speculation this was going to be a really good opportunity for them to have their first budget announcement with the majority government, so they can put into place all these spending things they've been wanting to do for years. There was obviously some fear that might all get reined in a bit with the coronavirus this just coming out in the last couple of days. But actually, what we have seen is still quite a lot of cash being splashed. There's been quite a lot of spending promises and lots of announcements of sending more money here, spending more money there. It's very much been probably not what we perhaps expected, in terms of we thought it might have been reined in a little bit, but more along the lines of what they had planned to do.
So really, it just seems like, oh, by the way, we need to spend 7 billion quid or something to keep the economy going, but we'll stick that on top. It's almost like they've just got, oh, well, that's just going to be another 7 billion quid.
Yeah, very, very positive and proactive, talking about them taking a big step further, going a bit further than where they've perhaps managed to reach before. So trying to keep a positive note on top of everything that's going on at the moment, I think.
One of the ones that caught my eye was this £650 million on homelessness. Now, that's one of your, this is one of these things, that's been bubbling around for a while, I think I'm right in saying. They've ever since the election, that one's sort of been in the background. So we do hear, you know, everyone thinks, goodness me, there's money for the regions, there's money for homes. This is just reiterating old news in some cases, isn't it?
Yeah, beforehand there was a lots of talk about what they might do, what they might bring in. Housing was actually one thing that was making a lot of news, particularly in the tax press. They did think they might be doing more for first-time buyers. It doesn't appear that that's come out, even just having had an initial look at some of the backing documents there. The proposals for first-time buyers actually don't appear to have been in what they've announced today.
All they've said is they're going to throw more money at affordable housing, and they're going to penalise non-residents wanting to buy residential property in this country by upping their stamp duty land tax surcharge. They've already got an extra 3%, as any of us have if we buy then a second home in this country, but if you live overseas, you're going to have another 2%.
That's going to change the landscape of big cities, isn't it? Cambridge, I'm thinking, is going to be directly affected by that. An awful lot of foreign investors buying in Cambridge, and certainly London as well. You know, there's nothing wrong with that per se, but they are going to have to pay if they want to do it, aren't they?
No, absolutely.
All right, let's work our way through then. Let's start with coronavirus, because there has been some real measures there to seem to get us through the immediate thing. They're obviously expecting a hit on this. I mean, we've already seen today the highest rise in the number of cases, another 83 cases, I think it was, announced earlier today, and it's basically the number of cases has doubled in the past 4 days. So they're bracing us for this. What are they doing to mitigate it?
They are, and I think, you know, they've done from the moment we actually woke this morning by reducing the interest rate. What they have done is positive. Just reducing the interest rate just to keep things going is good in terms of business and individuals that, you know, in our country. But also just the statutory sick pay. I think Boris already announced earlier on this week that it can now be claimed from day one rather than day four. And for small businesses that actually have to pay it back to the government, they're now going to be let off effectively that payment for 14 days.
Right.
So, you know, that has absolutely got to be a help.
It has, and because a lot of people, they put this thing with self-isolating. So you're technically, you're not sick. but you are self-isolating, aren't you? So you do still need to be able to do these things. Yeah. OK, so we've seen a reduction in interest rate, we've seen statutory sick pay. You know, they're trying their best, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. So the statutory sick pay payable now, even if you have no symptoms, and you can now get your sick note by calling 111, apparently.
Is that right?
I don't want you going to the doctor's surgery to get your sick note. But they have obviously made a few announcements there to help the small businesses with the business rates for leisure and hospitality and that those kind of things being extended to really help them out in their moment of need, which would very welcome changes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think are these all temporary changes, or actually is it an excuse to put something in place that they might just go, do you know, because people have been moaning about business rates for a fair old while now, haven't they? And this change in the economic way, the way we shop, the fact that we're going online, business, mm-hmm. you know, small high streets are suffering anyway, and this might just be the chance to go, oh, did we scrap it? Oh, it'd be silly to put it back, wouldn't it?
He did make quite a bit of noise about how temporary temporary disruption to the economy. There is inevitably going to be temporary disruption to the economy, was what he was saying. So I think it remains to be seen how long these will last for. He did use the temporary word quite a bit.
Okay. All right. I wasn't listening. I was only watching it on the screen because I was busy working at the time. All right. So let's talk about businesses. Good news, bad news, because businesses do seem to be sort of teetering on the all right, coronavirus is another thing to muddy the waters. But where are we at the moment with businesses, and what's he doing to help?
Okay, well, I think certainly that the impact of Corona, HMRC want to give taxpayers time to pay. Mm. There is already a facility that if a business is struggling to pay their taxes, then, you know, they can negotiate a payment arrangement with HMRC. It would seem that they might be a bit more flexible if the business is struggling through the effect of Corona. But, you know, for me, actually, there was nothing really in there that we weren't expecting anyway. We've got corporation tax still at 19%, and we've got the digital service tax coming in as expected at 2%. The employer's allowance, actually that is a little bit of a surprise, that has gone up to £4,000, and that's it's what they call a holiday for the employer, that when you pay an employee and employees suffer in national insurance as well as the employer. And if the bill is less than now £4,000, then the employer doesn't have to pay. So that's a bit of a reprieve for
businesses. Certainly for small businesses. That's a sizable old chunk, isn't it? You can imagine with some of the staff they've got, that means that would certainly reduce it or even take them out of it completely.
Completely. And certainly for Cambridge, actually, they've upped the R&D tax credit. Which would be really helpful, actually. That would certainly help.
Was something that apparently Sajid Javid was really keen about as well, that he wanted to see some R&D, and Dominic Cummings, this was his pet thing, was to put more money into R&D. So yeah, people in Cambridge will be happy.
It would be good for Cambridge.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, completely. And then structures and buildings allowance is going up by a single percent point as well. And that was introduced probably a couple of years ago, I think, to actually, we used to be able to claim relief for industrial buildings. That was abolished, and this is in effect in its place. So again, all the new infrastructure for businesses around Cambridge, that's a help. We've got, for those of us that work from home, and of course even not thinking Corona, it does happen a lot, because actually we don't want to be stuck in Cambridge traffic.
No.
You can actually claim a flat rate deduction. It's at the moment it's £4 per week, which is not much, but every little helps. That's going to be increased to £6 per week. And we've obviously got, as we've just spoken about, the discounts to business rates, which it's always been talked about. But I have to say, I think the coronavirus has just brought it to the fore, which has got to be a good thing.
It is interesting. You said about work from home there as well. And I've got my theories about all this, not in a big way. But I think actually this could be, in terms of climate change, this could see actually the big shift that they need. They're talking about, you know, we're talking about reducing carbon emissions and blah, 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 blah. We've already seen that China's carbon emissions have dropped like a stone because half their factories have shut. But the airlines as well. Now, the airlines are trying... it might see that love affair with the plane and foreign travel actually stop, because people go, oh, if I hadn't gone to Northern Italy, I wouldn't be, you know, shut away in my house now for 2 weeks going stir crazy. And then maybe we're seeing this, and this whole idea of working from home as well, it's going to be, for some people, it's going to be a chance to try it. Some people are going to go stir crazy. Others might go, do you know what? This actually works for me.
Yep.
So it might be that it's going to cause that sea change in, and so some little handouts like this and some slight tweaks here and there, people might go, damn, well, actually, I'm going to do that at least a couple of days a week. And that's where global warming gets addressed in small little chunks.
Completely. And actually, it can, if you think positively about it, it's got to be a boost for the UK economy. You know, if we've always talked about staycation over the last couple of years or so. Maybe we might see more of it. And we probably will see more of it this year than
just manufacturing, food, everything, if we can keep it local. So it's going to be interesting times, isn't it?
It will be.
We've been talking about the coronavirus and the measures that the government have put in place to try and keep the economy ticking along whilst we work through this. We've talked about longer-term help for businesses. What about the members of the public? They seem to have gone pretty easy on us, haven't we? It's looking all right this year, isn't it?
Yes, so in terms of measures that affect individuals, there's no obvious changes or increases to income tax or CGT rates. That's in line with their triple lock manifesto promises there. There's national insurance, the threshold where you pay national insurance contributions for individuals. That's going up from 8,632 to 9,500. That's getting it closer aligned with when you start paying tax over the next few years. So that's going to give
That's again a long-term aim, is it? One that they've said they're going to try and do.
They've said for years they're going to try and align national insurance and income tax thresholds. So this is just another step closer. It's not there yet. But that's a saving of about £104 for most individuals.
I'll take that.
You can go and spend that tonight. we've got entrepreneurs relief.
Something in Cambridge which we must be interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that we come across actually quite a lot in the office. Individuals selling their businesses. At the point that they sell businesses, you currently get a 10% CGT rate. Mm-hmm. If you qualify for entrepreneurs relief. It's been quite generous. And what they're saying is that they've been trying to have a look at it. And this was one of the ones I talked about before, that they're reducing this because they don't think it just... has a benefit for entrepreneurs. They're saying a lot of wealthy people benefit from this.
So with their
new tactic on helping to look like they're not just going to be generous to wealthy people, they are actually cutting the lifetime allowance limit for entrepreneurs relief from £10 million worth of gains down to just £1 million, which could see quite a lot of people no longer benefiting from entrepreneurs relief.
Oh, okay. So hang on a minute. Just a minute. Well, we were thinking this was good news. No, you're saying cutting. No. This is bad news.
So this is a big cut and a big blow for people who are looking to sell their businesses, particularly those who are going to make quite a large profit on selling.
Is there a date on this? Because could we see a load of people go, well, I'm flogging it now then?
Too late.
Is that right?
Today.
They saw that today.
Yeah.
They saw that one coming, didn't they?
There had been a bit of news and some people had been sort of preempting that this might happen. So there have perhaps been a few people rushing to sell businesses in the last few weeks.
But if you haven't signed on the dotted line?
It's effective immediately today.
Okay.
And funnily enough, Nicola and I have both been involved in sales of shares.
No.
Of which mine completed yesterday and Nicola's was last week. So
close.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. My goodness.
Both would have been affected by this. So
Oh well, they owe you a drink, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You to get them through.
Yes. So for people selling businesses now, they will be, for the majority of them, if they're over £1 million worth of gains, then they'll be at the normal CGT rates and not entrepreneurs relief. The pensions and your allowance, they made quite a bit of noise about wanting to help doctors who are perhaps being put off working extra hours because of the impact they can't make extra pension savings because they'll be earning more. This measure at the moment, it appears this measure is going to be affecting everybody rather than just doctors, but it wasn't particularly clear in the sort of earliest publications, the information that we've seen. But they're increasing the annual allowance, the threshold at which the annual allowance for pension contributions is tapered. So currently, if you earn over £150,000, the amount that you can pay into your pension is £40,000 per year and receive tax relief. If you earn more than that, then it starts being tapered away down to £10,000. The news here is that they're increasing that threshold by £90,000.
Oh, wow.
So the place where it starts being tapered down is going to increase to £240,000. And currently, the minimum it could possibly be is 10, and they're going to reduce that down to £4,000.
Okay.
So that's an impact, helping people save a little bit more in there.
But we don't know if that is only just for medical, for doctors and the medical.
It was a vague sort of statement that the purpose behind this is to really benefit the doctors and the consultants who are going to really benefit from it. But he kind of implied that it was going to be for everybody, and looking at the initial announcements, you think, how on earth would they police that if they just met that NHS people?
Yeah.
Because obviously not everybody who works in NHS is employed by NHS, so then there's kind of a massive grey area. So fingers crossed this is for everybody, otherwise it makes our life really
difficult. Even say anybody who's got doctor in the front of their name, you can't.
Exactly.
So you can't even do that, can you? All right. But then on the usual ones, all the fuel and food, you know, booze and fags type thing, it's all frozen, isn't it?
We'd run down some of the fun stuff. Where biggest bonus of leaving the EU, apparently we're no longer having to pay tax on our tampons. So the tampon tax is being removed from January 2021.
That's just a nonsense, wasn't it? Why would you do that?
I think it was an EU restriction, which the benefit of no longer being under those means that one can be removed. So, well, hey. We can all celebrate that one with a glass of wine. We've got frozen duty on beer, wine, spirits and ciders. Confirm that they're not going up, so we can all kick back and celebrate the budget announcements tonight with a nice glass of wine, knowing there's no extra duty on that. But before we do that, we're going to fill up our cars on the way home, because the fuel duty has also been frozen. So tonight, when we're going to get back, we can also read a digital book. So they've announced that there's going to be no taxes again now on digital publications, like newspapers, magazines, and online journals. We're also going to have a slightly less bumpy ride getting here and getting home. Potholes.
Oh, yes.
£2.5 million for potholes.
Mm. That'll just about cover Cambridge. Well,
that's enough to fill 50 million potholes, so goodness knows what they're going to do with the rest.
Well, that's Trumpington Road.
I have to say, having forked out for two tyres, I'm quite pleased they're going to do that.
Yeah, It's not funny, is it? It's a little bit third world around here at times. It really is. It is.
And just a couple of local announcements. Cambridge was actually mentioned specifically in the budget. Approval for Cambridge South train station funding there, and they also mentioned the A428, so I think once they're finished busying messing up the roadworks on the A14, then we can expect some
move
delays
south
on
and
the
do
A428.
That so that will bring the whole busway discussion back up into the fore, because if they're doing that, they're going to want to do the busway at the same time, I'm guessing, because it's the same run. Good. So on balance then, do we think good or bad? Because, I mean, Jeremy Corbyn's having a go already. The trade unions have been having a go as well. I'm just trying to find some of the quotes that we've had around. Positive, the Imperial College Business School saying the budget shows how seriously the government is taking the coronavirus. Caroline Lucas for the Greens said, we were told to expect a budget that put climate and the environment first, but behind piecemeal investments and tax tweaks, we've got a fuel duty freeze, £27 billion more on roads and nowhere near enough on green infrastructure. Jeremy Corbyn saying the talk of levelling up is a joke. He says it's the budget is an admission that austerity has been a failed experiment. Mixed reaction. Greenpeace not at all happy. Completely missed the opportunity to address the climate emergency, according to Greenpeace. Instead, by announcing £27 billion for new roads, seems he's driving in the opposite direction, says Rebecca Newson, head of politics at Greenpeace UK. Say the union's not happy. Tim Roach of the GMB saying there's nowhere near enough in the budget to help working people who have to self-isolate. Statutory sick pay is £18 a day. No one can live on that, and that's what the government seemed to expect the 20% of the population who may have to self-isolate to do. He issued a challenge to the government saying, if it's possible, let's see ministers do it. Coronavirus has highlighted the abysmal state of sick pay in this country. This budget was an opportunity for the government to right a wrong, but they've completely ignored it. That's according to Tim Roach, Secretary General of the GMB Union. That's their take. What's your take? Yeah, no, bit of each, bit of both.
It's a bit of a mixed bag, really. I mean, just taking that last one, expect the government to live on it. If they've got coronavirus in the Houses of Parliament, they might have to give it a test run, won't they? You know, you might see that change, you never know. Yeah. But I think it's a mixed bag. They're doing what they can. I think that's the main message here. You know, this is going to have an impact. As you said before, a temporary impact on the economy, a temporary impact on businesses. It's going to be a case of riding it out, and I think they've made a very clear plan that they're going to take three quite measured steps to make a difference to those where they can make a difference, and I think they've done what they can, and they're trying to keep a positive slant on it.
Got to try, yes. Otherwise, if we all sit and start wringing our hands, or washing our hands, then wringing them, it's all about public feeling, isn't it? It's about the sentiment,
it
can easily go. We're all struggling a bit at the moment. They're talking today, never mind ordinary health. People with mental health panicking and worrying about, getting very upset about this whole thing, and that's understandable. Yeah, we've got to try and keep it. We've got to try and see business as usual. Bit of stiff upper lip.
No, I agree. I think he's been very, very, very sensitive to the circumstances that we actually find ourselves in. But he's also being very optimistic in that he is still hoping that the economy will grow. He's throwing money at the NHS, which is obviously first and foremost what we need, broadband into the hardest areas in the country to reach, money into research and development, and of course our roads, railways and the dear potholes.
Bit of infrastructure, yes.
I think, on balance, it was a fair budget. Mm. He hasn't reneged on particularly any of his manifestos. They have delivered what pretty much they promised. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's still things buzzing around in the background, like we are expecting that inheritance acts will be reformed at some point. But I suspect there's, things will slow up.
They've kind of got enough on their plate at the moment, haven't they? They really have.
No, completely.
Well, there we are. First, apparently, you were just saying the first firm of accountants on air in Cambridge to talk about the budget. So well done. Thank you very much indeed for coming in this afternoon. And there was short notice. I know you must have been making notes on this all the way in the car. It's a big ask, but I really do appreciate you coming in and giving us that, some professional look at the situation following the Chancellor's budget. His first one, and it sounds like he's ticked some boxes. So well done. Mm-hmm. So for now, Sarah and Nicola from CKLG, thanks very much indeed for coming in this afternoon.